Ready to optimize your nutrition this year? Factor has chef-made gourmet meals that make eating well easy. They're dietitian approved and ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes. So you can fuel right and feel great, no matter what life throws at you. Factor arrives fresh and fully prepared, perfect for any active, busy lifestyle. Lose up to 8 pounds in 8 weeks with Factor Keto meals. Based on a randomized, controlled clinical trial with Factor Keto, results will vary depending on diet and exercise. With 40 options across 8 dietary preferences on the menu each week, it's easy to pick meals tailored to your goals. Choose from preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, or Keto. Factor can help you feel your best all day long with wholesome smoothies, breakfasts, grab-and-go snacks, and more add-ons. Reach your goals this year with ingredients you can trust and convenience that can't be beat. Eat smart with Factor. Get started at factormeals.com/factorpodcast and use code FACTORPODCAST to get 50% off your first box plus free shipping. That's code FACTORPODCAST at factormeals.com/factorpodcast to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box.
Drex on KGO 810.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com, along with, well, it's Roundtable Night with Pat Thurston joining me and John Rothman and Brian Pelletier from the KGO Newsroom, and we're discussing politics and all things primary. Right now, well, the president congratulates Clinton on securing the nomination, and I guess that she did. Pat's not happy that that's happening.
And they also say that the president and Bernie Sanders will meet on Thursday at the White House, and the rumors are that the president will endorse Hillary.
One, she's I guess the terminology is correct, securing the nomination. I just wanted to be clear that she hasn't been nominated yet.
Now,
that happens at the convention. Bernie, that's the point of it.
Bernie is in Santa Monica, California, and if he comes out and he speaks, we will put it on the air. Meanwhile, let's go to the phones. We're taking your calls. 415 is the area code outside the Bay, 808-0810, 8080-810. John in San Ramon, good evening. You're on KGO.
Hey, you know, I've just simply been asking people that I've met around town two basic questions. Number one, do you think Donald Trump would do anything for anybody other than himself?
No.
And most people laugh. And they laugh and they're like, heck no, he wouldn't. That's actually how he got rich.
Right.
I'm like, okay. Well, do you think Hillary Clinton would do anything for anybody other than herself? And most people reluctantly say, yes, I think she would. So who would you vote for?
And therein lies the problem with the entire country. You just nailed it. You know, which is the best of the worst?
That's terrible.
Oh, no, it is terrible. No, it sucks bad.
This is awful.
No, it's awful.
But it goes
it's
back
awful.
To what Gary asked.
Yes.
Have we had this kind of situation before? And the answer is, stop and think. Most people I know don't vote for. They vote against. And what we're going to see in this campaign, and you're going to hear Clinton pounding Trump and Trump pounding Clinton, what you're ultimately going to come down to is people are going to vote for the one that they think will do the least damage to the United States.
You know, okay. That is so important. And Drex, seriously, this is the what John just said. That's the reason that there's not a great feeling and enthusiasm and everything.
Right.
Because when Barack Obama was elected, I'll tell you, I was so excited because I was voting for somebody. For a change. I had been doing exactly what John was saying.
Well, it was a revolution.
Once you do that, once you vote for somebody because you think they're really great and you're so happy that you can vote for this person, it's kind of hard then the next go-round
I learned to say
I have to vote against
someone. I learned a very short poem from a listener the night before Obama's election. And it goes like this. Rosa sat so Martin could march, so Barack could run, so our children could fly. And I've never forgotten that because it seemed to me to capture the essence of that moment of hope.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And
that's it. Yeah. That's the reason.
And 227 days and counting of left of hope and change. That's it.
Yeah.
So,
right.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Hopey-changey thing.
And I was saying earlier, I did, you know, it felt like if you could pot, can you pot me up here? It felt like with Barack Obama. You get a car. Everybody gets a car, right? And I said it earlier. Now, I didn't hear anybody calling in tonight giving us hell saying,
oh, my God, the celebration, the milestone, the moment, the breaking of the glass ceiling. A woman is running for president of the United States.
Yeah.
No one's called and said that.
No.
Can I just quickly point out?
It's all just, you really want Trump to be in the White House?
Right, yes.
Clinton now has 2,611 delegates to Sanders' 1,652 delegates. Pledged delegates, 2,039 for Clinton, 1,605 for Sanders, 572 super for Clinton, 47 for Sanders. The point is that now Clinton has a 1,000-vote delegate lead, and that's without California reporting. And if the numbers hold up here in California, if, in fact, it is a, let's just be nice about it and say a 60-40 split between Clinton and Sanders, it's over.
All right. Let's go to Yvonne in San Jose. You're on KGO. Good evening.
Hello. Good evening. Thanks for putting me on. I've been listening to you guys for a long time now, and I just thought I'd chime in and put in my two cents. Basically, you know, when I looked at both Clinton and Sanders, I took a good look at each of them, and they were pretty much almost the same in a lot of what they proposed. But the one thing I don't like about Sanders is his defense of not advocating gun control. To me, that's a huge problem. I mean, with all the shootings going on in the schools and everywhere across the nation, there needs to be stricter control on who's allowed to have a gun, how many bullets you can have, who could be held accountable. And he is not willing to compromise on making these changes. And to me, that was it.
Okay. So, you know, that's well. And that's the political third rail. It's one of them, that's for sure. That, Social Security, and a few other things.
And that's a good point. You know, the gun control thing. I'm an advocate for gun control. It's not like Bernie Sanders is, you know, an NRA fanatic.
No.
But Hillary Clinton is better on gun control than Bernie Sanders is. I have to admit that.
Yep. Okay, no doubt about it. All right, let me see. Let's go to HB, who's been holding forever. HB. See. No, she's not.
Can you hear me?
Oh, HB.
I can. Hi.
Always a pleasure.
Hi, HB. Hi, John. You guys have been like kids in the doggone sandbox. What did you guys eat for lunch, or what did you drink for lunch?
Nothing yet. We're waiting for 10 o'clock.
Yes. Don't be picking on my Pat, okay?
Thank you very much.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me tell you who I'm surprised at. He knows what I'm going to say. John Rothman, the gentleman.
Hey, there's a lot of head shaking going on over there, HB. Yes.
Yeah. John, I can't believe you.
Yeah. Tell him, HB.
You know what? That's okay. Honey, I'll be talking to Samuel and Joel and tell Ellen on
him. HB, HB, Samuel.
I know what you did tonight.
HB, Samuel voted for Bernie. And I want you to know he argued with me vigorously. But in the end, will you agree with me that the most important single thing is to make sure Trump doesn't sit in the White House?
I don't want Hillary in there. I'd rather have a monkey in there than her. I'm not kidding. Benghazi, dead people. She did nothing. And she, every time they asked her about it, I don't mean to yell. Every time they asked her about it, she couldn't say anything definitive. She didn't say she was sorry or anything.
So who would you vote for? I'm really curious, HB, because I respect you. We've known each other a long time.
We have.
Who would you, you're walking into that voting booth, the fate of the nation stands in your hands. Who are you going to vote for, Hillary or Trump?
Neither one of them. I'm not kidding. I will not vote for her. I will not vote. I'm not a hypocrite. I can't stand her. I think she screwed up so many things, and I think she's all about money.
And we're seeing a lot of protests. Thank you very much, HB. Much love. We're seeing a lot of protest votes all over the place tonight, even with Trump on the Republican side, people voting for Kasich and Cruz. And if you look at all the primaries,
right,
there are some significant numbers. These are all protest votes against Donald Trump.
But you know, what HB said, I don't think that we should just skip over that. When she said she's not going to be a hypocrite, what I find frustrating, and I've always found it frustrating with the Democratic Party, I left the party for a period of time because of it, is that they expect me to fall into lockstep with them always. and as if they have a right to my vote. And they don't. If they don't start doing things for me and for working other working class Americans, they don't deserve my vote.
But the alternative is a Donald Trump.
And you know
Trump
what? People buy into that nonsense, right, and we're always going. It's always going to be that. Every single election cycle is going to be, oh, yeah, but you don't want that guy.
But Pat, Donald Trump has tapped into that middle class, the angry middle class white people.
Bigot. Yeah. No, he's trapped. He's been tapped into the bigot.
So I went home to visit my family in Pennsylvania.
Are they bigots?
No.
Be honest.
Maybe some of them are, yes. Okay. To be fair. I'm, what the hell are you doing in California, son? Yeah. I'm the one.
Land of fruits and nuts.
Well, they drop me on my head, and I love it. It was like Karen Reed gave me the greatest quote. We live in our own little world, and aren't we glad we do?
Exactly.
Yes.
That's why so many people want to come here.
But if you go back there to middle America, the angry white people, they're fierce about it.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're not coming down off that pole.
Can I remind you that 30% of voters, according to the polls, who voted for Sanders may end up voting for Trump. But I like to remind people that in 1968, after Robert Kennedy was assassinated, 30% of the George Wallace voters in November were people who had voted for Bobby Kennedy. There is a symmetry, if you will, of anger on the left and the right, which very often comes together. And Donald Trump talked about it tonight.
I don't believe that Sanders supporters actually will vote for Trump. I believe they're saying that now. But when push comes to shove, I don't think any of us are actually going to vote for Donald Trump because of what he represents. And as bad as we think Hillary is, Donald Trump is much, much worse.
May I say, I hope you're right.
We don't have to vote for either one.
I hope you are right.
Kudos on that. All right, time for a break. We'll be back. 808-0810 is the number to the Drex Radio Show on KGOA10. With a look at traffic, here's Lee Graham.
The Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show on KGOA10.
Not so much. I mean, we really thought, Pat and I thought, we thought that Bernie was going to run away with it.
The thing
or at
is,
least be really close, and that's not happening.
It's not. But, you know, it's weird because the really big, largely populated areas aren't reporting it. Although, now Los Angeles County is reporting 8.3%. Now, this is according to the Secretary of State site, and their figures are different from what CNN is reporting in terms of how much has come in. But in Los Angeles County, it's Hillary Clinton 65% to Bernie Sanders 33.7%, and that's with 8.3% reporting. There is zero being reported now in San Francisco, zero being reported in Contra Costa, zero being reported in Alameda, 8.5% in Marin, and Marin is going Hillary Clinton 63% to 36%.
And here's Los Angeles County, 65% Clinton, 33.7% Sanders. You know, it's fascinating. But can I ask you, because you've got your finger on the button there, Pat, can you tell me on the Senate race? Because
You have to get complicated. Yeah. Now I have to push another button.
Darn right. One of the most interesting things about this is for the first time in our history, we are going to have to vote for the top two. There will not be a Republican nominee and a Democratic nominee. The odds are it'll be Harris versus Sanchez, two women, two Democrats. One from Northern California, one from Southern California. And what are they really going to oppose
each other
on?
Well, right now, 15.3% reporting again in California. Kamala Harris has 39.7%. Loretta Sanchez has 16.7%. They're the two on top. The next one is a Republican, Duff Sundheim.
Yes.
And that's 10%.
And that was projected for Duff, who, by the way, has been here on KGO. Ron had him in, I believe, and... But it's interesting because personally, I'm going to be very partisan here. I think it's the most appalling thing that you don't have a separate Democratic and Republican primary. I want a choice in November.
Right.
And instead, I've got a Democratic fight between two Democrats. I don't want that. And we were talking about the race for governor. Villaraigosa, the former mayor of Los Angeles, was here yesterday meeting with people. He's going to run for governor. Gavin Newsom is going to run for governor. And the odds are that in 2 years, when we talk about the gubernatorial race, we will have two Democrats running against each other for governor. And again, the Republicans are aced out. It's wrong because it weakens the two-party system. And I really think it's destructive. And I hope we repeal that law.
I agree with you. All right, let's go to the phones. And we'll start with Dee. Good evening. You're on the Drex Radio Show on KGO from Danville.
Hi, Drex. I heard you talk earlier about why nobody's calling in support of Hillary Clinton. And I just got to tell you, my text from all my friends is like going wild with, wow, Hillary's doing it. And even people that are friends of mine who really likes Donald Trump, I don't understand them, but they're really happy that Hillary, as a woman, is finally, you know, having a woman someplace where she could be president of the United States. So I don't know why people aren't calling in, but I just have to respond to your comment because they're out there.
That's great. Because
are you excited?
Yes.
I am thrilled because, you know, I know that a lot of people don't like Hillary, and I'm not saying that she's without her faults, but, you know, in some respects, I think there's a lot of men who have equally as many or more faults than her, and they have no problem getting elected.
Yeah, like her husband, maybe.
But you're right. You're right.
You're correct. There's no doubt that this has been a milestone tonight, and I think it's important to keep that in mind. The glass ceiling has been broken. It's been shattered.
It's amazing. Exactly. We will have seen a African American president and a woman president if the polls go as I think they will in November, and that is a real tribute to the United States of America in terms of breaking down barriers. I think it's very important. And I think women are going to respond, in part because Donald Trump is so bad on women's issues, at least from the perspective of those who believe in women's rights.
And the next president after that, after the 8-year term, should be LGBT.
Got anybody in mind?
Not yet.
We'll have to start working on that.
I mean, let's just knock them all down, right?
But yeah. Can I say to you, Hillary Clinton said something that was a tip-off on the vice presidential nomination. She said she thinks the Democrats can carry Texas. And I think she's looking at Julian Castro, 41 years old. His brother's in Congress. He's former mayor of San Antonio, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. And he's a good guy.
And if
they do that, you could see Hispanic.
And that would be fantastic. Julian's a great guy.
May already have been an LGBT president, just not someone out.
May I tell you?
I can tell you lots of rumors about Abraham Lincoln.
I can tell you the gay president of the United States was James Buchanan.
That's right, from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the man he was in love with was the vice president in the previous administration, William Rufus King, and they lived together in Washington, and King was known as Mrs. B. And there are actually letters between the two. So we have had a president of the United States who was gay. And the interesting thing is, in Washington, nobody cared during that administration.
Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that a great thing.
Yeah, it was. Since we're talking about what's next, boy, oh, boy, the Democratic Party itself needs to get younger, as you were speaking to about Julian.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And Hillary Clinton, they're talking about several other potential candidates. She has got to go younger. She's got to go to the Southwest. It just makes sense in order to attract younger voters. If her running mate is a senator from Ohio who is 62, 63 years old, you got two old white people.
No. I disagree. I mean, who has been the person who has captured the young vote? He's the old guy in the race. He's the 74-year-old.
I understand, but we have a 69-year-old and a 74-year-old. Okay,
I know, but it's time for young blood. I get that, but if you want to get young voters involved, what are you talking about? Are you talking about young blood in the elected office, or are you
talking about getting young people involved?
Well,
so this is where we give Bernie Sanders his credit, where credit is incredible. Due to him.
Yes.
I mean, he has pushed the progressive platform to where it's never been, and he has a little fire under the millennials, and they love him. They adore him.
The rallies that he's had have been unbelievable, getting people excited about politics again.
Did you hear Nancy Pelosi, who endorsed Hillary Clinton, say that a ticket with two women might not be bad, and they're looking hard at Elizabeth Warren. And she has been the attack dog when it comes to Donald Trump.
Right.
But now I have to point out, I believe that she is 67 years old. And not that I want to be ageist, but it does have something to do. Going young is going to be critical.
But again, if you want to keep the Bernie Sanders voters, if you really want to entice them over to Hillary Clinton, make Elizabeth Warren your running mate, because then we'll go.
I think that's a great idea. On that note, we'll take a break and we'll be back with your phone calls. Thank you very much for calling Outside the Bay. It's 415 is the area code, 808-0810-8810. With a look at traffic, here's a big night election-wise in California. We're watching the primaries very carefully, and Pat Thurston is joining me along with John Rothman and Brian Pelletier from the KGO Newsroom. And standing by for Sanders to speak coming up. But right now, it looks like Hillary Clinton is really running away with things, 62% to Bernie's 36.5%.
In California.
In California with, yes, about a third of the votes in so far. But we're not seeing L.A., San Francisco, Alameda.
We're not seeing the big populated areas yet. But still, the numbers have stayed pretty consistent there. I mean, it looks pretty assured that Hillary is having a big, big night.
And it's
tonight.
Hard to overcome that kind of lead. I should point out that there also, we have other news, and that is that Bernie Sanders spoke with Harry Reid, who is the Senate Democratic leader. Harry Reid has been urging Sanders to bow out. And again, we should repeat that the president on Thursday, is meeting with Bernie Sanders at the White House. And I was reflecting, perfect time for the president to have Sanders on one side, Clinton on the other side, put his arm around both of them and say, now we go on.
Yep, and away we go. All right, let's start here with Jim in Concord. Thank you for waiting. You're on KGO.
So I'm a white guy. I'm a lawyer. I've called you all before. Gay man. And this is the first primary election in my long political career where I've, stepped out of it. So I'm not sure who I'm going to vote for. What it comes down for me, since I work for myself, is the money. Who is going to raise my taxes? I couldn't care less what color they are, what sex they are. Who is going to be responsible with the money? That's what it is for me.
Clinton, if you're looking for tax breaks, it's probably Trump would probably be your candidate. Are you comfortable voting for him?
You're quite right. And I'm not a bigot, even though I'm from Texas. I've lived here for 20 years.
Even though
I lived there a long time, too, yes. Doesn't make you a bigot.
It comes down to the money.
Is the money more important? Are your taxes not being raised, is that more important to you than the things that Donald Trump espouses, his own bigotry and, he's so fragile.
He's full of air. But all I know is that it's a struggle for me as an upper middle class person working for myself because the government takes so much money from me. That is what's important to me. And I think that is what he has plugged into. He's a populist.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Yes,
I'll make a prediction for you.
Thank you
And that
much.
Is if Donald Trump is president of the United States, you'll lose just as much money as Hillary Clinton. Because remember that a president is not a dictator. A president has to work with Congress. And Donald Trump's problem, whatever he proposes, is Congress doesn't like Donald Trump. It's very clear. More than that, if the numbers hold up as they appear to, and the Democrats take the United States Senate, even if Trump were to win, his ability, particularly when it comes to budget matters, would be extremely limited. And I point that out because it's very important to understand the pragmatic politics here. If Clinton wins with a Democratic Senate, and if the Democrats can make major gains in the House, we will see a real change in America. But I don't see, even if Trump wins, any way for the Republicans to capture the United States Senate. And that brings us back to the Supreme Court as well.
Right. And he's going to be if he does become president by chance, he's so thin-skinned now.
Exactly.
Can you imagine how ballistic he's going to be going?
See, I was thinking about that. When you talk about money, when you talk about taxes, he's so thin-skinned. And then Hillary's such a hawk that I think the chance of more war, more foreign interventions is greater with those two candidates. And that's one of the most costly aspects of our budget is our military, and that is going to raise taxes. That's going to increase the deficit. It's going to increase spending, and we're going to end up paying more anyway. I don't care what Donald Trump has to say.
The next president's going to have a very tough time, but don't worry, guys. Donald Trump said he was going to solve the problem. You know how?
He's going to print more money. And he's got a friend Vladimir Putin.
He's got a good brain.
Nobody told him that the Federal Reserve has to be the one to authorize that. But let's not confuse him with the facts.
Bernie Sanders went ahead in Montana.
All right, let's go to John in Mountain View. Good evening. You're on KGO.
Hi, good evening, y'all. I do appreciate having this conversation this evening.
Thank you.
Hi.
I just wanted to bring up
I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter, and I'm also one of those individuals actually that is anti-gun, and I believe in gun safety. I also believe the Second Amendment calls for well-regulated militia, and how we went from well-regulated to loose-regulated to every citizen may own a gun. I have no idea.
Yep.
So I'm one of those individuals. With that said, I have been in rural areas before, and I do realize that while I've lived in the city all my life, and I can pick up the phone and call 911 and expect a officer of the law to be at my doorstep within 90 seconds, I know in rural communities throughout America, it requires hours at times for the sheriffs to actually get to their residences. So that is why a lot of Bernie constituents actually have guns. And so I can understand that they're attempting to protect their family members and their property. So that's why Bernie has to stick up for those gun owners. And I think that when it comes to most people like myself that live in cities all their lives, they just don't, they're completely out of touch. And I also want to bring up...
Hold on one sec. I just want to agree with you on one thing. My roommate in college, Steve, lives in Sutter Creek. He's a liberal Democrat who absolutely keeps a gun in his home and who said to me, if they, he didn't have a gun and he needed the police, it would take the sheriff's department at least 20 minutes to get to his house. So I understand completely absolutely what you are saying, and people need to understand that fact.
Yes.
I totally
and
agree.
I think that,
yes.
Bernie, it's also really important to understand that, Bernie, if we're going to hold the gun manufacturers accountable, we should be outlawing the guns. And being that we are allowing these guns to exist, and, you know, it's almost as if holding knife manufacturers accountable for people that get stabbed, or vehicle manufacturers for people that crash into other vehicles and kill others. I've never heard of a suit being pressed against a knife manufacturer or a vehicle manufacturer. And I think
John, I want to jump in here. The quickest way to get Donald Trump into the White House is say Hillary's coming for your guns.
Which is not true.
But that's going to be their one of their speaking points. And Hillary's coming for your guns. So look out. That'll get Trump right into the White House. So let's get off of that.
I really?
That's one of their go-to points.
And that's why Donald Trump keeps saying publicly, Hillary Clinton's going to take away your guns.
He's been saying it, and he's not going to stop.
No, and that, you're absolutely right, it's a critical issue.
It is absolutely critical issue.
Well, see, I think there are more critical issues, like war and like women's rights to control their bodies and their reproduction. You know, those are the kinds of things that make people single issue voters. And Donald Trump is not someone who supports us in that regard.
You're right. But, Pat, don't confuse people with the facts. People vote emotion. And that is something.
Well,
that
they said that about
coming for your guns is
and they said,
a disaster.
But they said that about President Obama. They said that about him throughout the campaign, and he won twice.
And he didn't come for their guns.
No, he did not. But they said he would. Right. They were determined he would, and he won twice.
All right, I got to take a break, and we'll be back. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show, 9:50 on the Drex Radio Show, along with Pat Thurston and John Rothman and Brian Pelletier from the KGO Newsroom. Well, guys, it's been quite a night.
I'm sad it's gone so fast.
It has gone so fast, and I guess you're disappointed that, you're disappointed and I'm surprised that Bernie did not do better.
Well, it's not over in California, but it's over in terms of, you know, who's going to take the nomination.
Really? Pat? Really?
Well, you know what's different about you and me, John, is I waited until California voted.
Remember, we're 50,000 clear channel. Clear channel at night. So, you know, the people in Canada can hear you, Pat.
Well, as they should.
As they should. That's right. That's the great thing about doing nights.
And may I say, having worked the overnights here for 11 years and 11 months, but who's counting? It's a pleasure to be with all my friends again.
Oh, it's fantastic. I loved having you guys in here.
But I am sad. But you know what I'm hoping is that the revolution isn't over. And I'm hoping that the people who are supportive of Bernie Sanders are not discouraged. And that, you know, we continue with the effort, the things that he wanted to push. He's going back to the Senate. And so we can push things with Bernie through the United States Senate. And we better get out there and vote in November to change the nature of the Senate and the House of Representatives to make it as blue as we possibly can.
And can I point out the real news tomorrow will be how Republicans respond to Donald Trump. He's not out of the woods yet. And although we've concentrated on the Democrats tonight, everybody needs to know that the infighting within the Republican Party has only just begun. And we're going to be watching that very, very carefully.
And they've been having a lot of fun looking at the Democratic side saying, oh, wow, well, look at them fighting. And I think that will dissolve.
I agree.
Very quickly.
I think the president is going to try to bring peace, and you're going to see a united Democratic Party because the Democrats are afraid of something. Donald Trump in the White House.
Yes.
Well, she needs to pick Elizabeth Warren. I mean, throw us a bone, huh?
Jeez. Well, you know, it'll be fun if during the convention, as that process unfolds, you'll be talking about it. Pat will be talking about
Certainly
it. I'll
about
be
it.
Talking about it. And it's going to be very interesting to see how that evolves as well. Who the candidates take for vice president is going to be the next real issue.
Who do you think Trump's going to take? I think it's going to be Newt Gingrich.
Oh, my God. Yes, I heard him talking, him dodging that question on Fox News. Boy,
I think it's going to
be. What
a
disaster that is. Newt, get rich. No. No.
Well, you know, Newt,
Well, that would be great for our side.
Oh, yes. It would be so fun. Yes.
Newt blasted Trump on the statement.
For sure. Yes, he has.
And then backed away completely. Ooh. And that's a good indication of their relationship. Newt, 72 years old, former Speaker of the House of Representatives, a Washington insider, the confidence of many Republicans to make for an interesting ticket.
How embarrassing is it for Chris Christie to constantly be shadowing
that.
Him? Oh, my God. And the people of New Jersey have had it with him being the governor. He's going to lose that.
Yeah. Well, now he just seems like a big sucker.
He hopes to be Attorney General of the United States when Donald Trump is elected president. That's what he hopes. Oh,
yeah, I mean, you ask me if I watch SNL, and I fast forward through because I think
what's your favorite character of all time on SNL? Let me guess. It's got to be Will Ferrell doing Janet Reno.
Oh, you know, it's Larry David.
Oh, well, doing Bernie. Well, yeah, that's today.
How can you guys overlook my favorite defeated vice presidential candidate, Sarah Palin?
Oh, Tina Fey.
God. Hey, isn't it crazy how she disappeared all of a sudden?
Yeah, all of a sudden. She comes back every once in a while.
I know, but, you know, I think Donald shoot her away.
I know. She made such an ass of herself.
Right. It's amazing. That day that they stood on the stage together. And
he seemed so horrified by what she was saying.
Get her out of here. Back to Wasilla.
Well, I know we're about to close, so can I say a big thank you, Drex, for having us in. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
And we hope to do it again with you.
Yes, Drex.
Thank you very much. All right, we're going to take us. We're going out the door.
Now?
All right.
Are we going now?
We're going out the door, yes. All right. Okay, John Batchelor is coming up next on KGO 810.